Hello, everyone. Welcome to Making the Biblical Text Meaningful to Life, a platform on which difficult biblical texts are discussed. Your teachers are Dr. Liberty and Dr. Robertson. Hey, Rob, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Will you please pray for us?
Absolutely. Our Heavenly and Gracious Father, we just give you thanks for this time to come together and study your word.
Yes,
this is such a marvelous story that you have prepared for us, a wonderful illustration of your love for Ruth, one of your children, but also it paints a beautiful picture of what a biblical marriage is, what we've been studying all this time, and also shows us how you care so much for us and for the church, and how Christ has redeemed the church. So we just want to praise you and thank you, Father, for this wonderful story that we can learn from and grow deeper in faith with you and deeper understanding. Thank you so much for this, Father. Lord, just be with us tonight.
Yes, Lord.
Speak your truth and your word, Father, as we continue through the book of Ruth. Thank you so much for this time. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Happy Easter, Resurrection Sunday to everyone. We thank you for coming tonight. You know what we are doing, specific teaching on biblical marriage through the scripture. So we are in the book of Ruth. So happy Easter or Resurrection Sunday. You're welcome. Now, for those of you that are with us live, we want you to please keep everything around you quiet. Phone, radio, TV, etc. Because this teaching is live. And for those who are with us by way of phone, do one thing for us. If you have questions to ask, please call this number, 561-406-9853. 561-406-9853, and leave your question. You can call several times and leave 2, 3, or 4 questions. We are going to get back to you. Those with us by computer, please, or tablet, do one thing. Use the chat button below and send in whatever question you may have. Now, at the end of the teaching, we are going to unmute everyone, and then you will have the opportunity to ask questions or make comments, whatever you want to do. And so, but if you cannot wait, if you don't want to forget, call the line 561-406-9853 or use the chat. And then we're going to get back to you. And thank you for joining us tonight. We appreciate that. All right. Let me just read our text tonight. Our text tonight is from Ruth chapter 4, beginning at verse 1 to 10. So let me just read that. And I'm reading it from the New International Version of the Bible. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat there. When the king's man redeemer he had mentioned came along, Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here." And they did so. Then he said to the king's man redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line. I will redeem it he said. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth, the Moabites, you acquire the dead man's widow in order to maintain the sin to maintain the name of the dead with his property. Verse 6 says, at this time, the king's man redeemer said, then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it. Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing the transactions in Israel. Verse 8. So the king's male redeemer said to Boaz, buy it yourself. And he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Malon. I have also acquired Ruth, the Moabites, Malon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name would not disappear from among his family or in Israel. Now, let's stop here. You can read that in Ruth chapter 1, chapter 4, beginning from verse 1 to 10. Hey, Rob, you said you have a comment on this, on the text that I just read.
A couple of comments, couple of thoughts for us to think about.
Right.
One, in verse 2, it says he took 10 witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And so in items of grave importance, such mm-hmm. as matrimony, divorce, or the conveyance of property,
right.
It was the Jewish practice to have 10 witnesses.
Okay.
In lesser matters, there could be fewer witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
But here, this is both conveyance of property, but also marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why Boaz assembled the 10 witnesses.
Right.
The other interesting point is, as he's pointing out to the kinsman redeemer who's in first position.
Right.
The assumption is that he will have to take Naomi as well, but we can assume he's not concerned with this because she's beyond childbearing years.
Mm-hmm.
So this really wouldn't upset his household much. But when Boaz points out that, oh, you will have to take Ruth, who is much younger, that then becomes concern to the other kinsmen.
Right.
And so this changed everything around. And it's interesting how Boaz presented all this. He's like, here's the property. Ah, but wait. There's another wife here,
right.
And the redeemer had to fulfill the duty both of restoring the property to the family, but also maintaining the posterity of the family, meaning the descendants and the name.
Mm-hmm.
The other interesting piece is what's happening with the sandal. And we talked about this previously, that when there's the changing of the property, the kinsman is redeeming that, they exchange the sandal. However, in a case where one rejects the widow,
mm-hmm.
We read in Deuteronomy 25:10 that the shoe is loosed and that the widow will take the sandal off of his foot,
mm-hmm.
Hits him with it, and spits in his face.
Mm.
And remember, this is an insult because the bottom of the sandal is what touches the dust of the world. It's unclean and it's filthy. This is a disgraceful act.
Right.
And Deuteronomy 25:10 reads, and his name, referring to that kinsman redeemer that fails in his duty, shall be called in Israel the house of him that hath his shoe loosed.
Mm.
And he becomes remembered no more. And so here, the kinsman redeemer in the first position refuses his duty. Mm-hmm. So Boaz gives him his sandal. And it's interesting to note that he is not named.
Mm-hmm.
So his name has gone away.
Mm-hmm.
Not recorded in the scripture. So there's a lot of little interesting things that are happening in here that are both the manners and the customs of yeah. the day.
You're right.
And that are very important to the message. So we need to pay attention to these things because it elevates the story and gives us a much better understanding of what's going on.
Good. Thank you for all right. Good. But before we can go into this in detail, we are introducing it now. But I want us to reconnect our readers or our those that are with us live tonight and by way of replay. We want to reconnect tonight by way of recapping some of the things we learned in the first in part one, the historical background of Boaz and Ruth's wedding. And so it will help us to flow into what we're doing tonight and to remind us of some of the things we studied 2 weeks ago. We just came from a break, 2 weeks break. Hey, it was good. It was good. We've been doing teaching for a complete year nonstop, and we took two weeks off. That was great. Now we come back. We want to just reconnect everyone with what we studied first, and then we can flow into our study tonight. In part one, which is the historical background of Boaz and Ruth's wedding, we learn that Boaz and Ruth married during the time of the judges. That was one of the key things we learned there. They married where? During the time of the judges. However, the period of time is debatable to this day. Some say 300 years, some say 400, some say 480. But we concluded that based upon other facts that we have gathered in our research, this period of time during the time of the judges was around 400 years in length. Now, the second thing that we studied in the background was that there was a complete moving away from God. The religious condition of Israel during the period of the judges was very, very bad. Disobedience at its peak. Israel don't obey God anymore, and the whole thing came from Solomon, who had 700 wives and 300 concubines, and there was major problem in Israel. Idolatry went to the increase. They worship other gods, Baal, Asherah, and other pagan deities. Immorality abounded at the time. Some of the judges were immoral persons, like Gideon, Samson. They were, they did some sort of wrong thing. But here's the point. When you see Judges 21:25, the last verse in there says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So you can see that during the time of the judges, Israel continued to walk away from the law. That was the problem. But the thing here is because this is exactly what we are looking at tonight. The background of that was Israel walked away from God. They were doing their own thing. The time of the judges. The kings and everyone was just doing, they were fighting among themselves. No one put God first. That was an issue. Even though there were few kings, that one or two or three that came and brought revival. But how far did they go? So that was the problem. And because of that, whenever you are disobeying God, you should expect some issues in your life. All right? So there was a great famine in the land. No food. And because of the famine in Bethlehem, Elimelech took his family to Moab, escaping from starvation. But when they got in Moab, he died. His two sons died, remaining the widows of his two sons and his wife. So finally, Naomi decided to return home. and she came home with one of the wives of her deceased sons back to Bethlehem. Now, the woman that was brought, that came with Naomi is our focus now in the teaching tonight. Now, we are going to focus on the development in Bethlehem, the marriage of Boaz and Ruth in our teaching. So the first thing we need to trace tonight is in our next slide is what are we going to discuss tonight? What are the objectives of the main thing that we want to look at tonight as we study? Now, in tonight's study, and I want you to carefully pay attention to this. In this study, we will discuss that Boaz and Ruth had a levirate marriage. We're going to deal with that as we get into the teaching. All right. Now we will also discuss the meaning of this levirate marriage and its importance in ancient Israel. The importance and definition of kinsman or kinsman redeemer. We're going to study that. How a levirate marriage was performed in Israel. We're going to discuss that. Naomi's influence on Boaz and Ruth's wedding. That was outstanding. We're going to discuss that. The importance of ancient gates in Israel. These are areas that we are going to talk about tonight. All right. Two major points will be discussed in our teaching. That is Ruth's proposal to Boaz and Boaz's acceptance and arrangements of the wedding. These are two things we're going to discuss tonight. Rob, you said you have something to add on to this objective that we just listed here.
Yeah, there's a couple of points to keep in mind. Previously, we've talked about the importance of names, and we've alluded to a little bit of that here, so I just want to reiterate part.
Right.
That helps us grasp the depth of what is occurring. Mm-hmm. So, as you mentioned, Elimelech left Bethlehem to go to Moab.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as we pointed out in the previous study, his name means, "My God is King."
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful name. Then we have Naomi, whose name means pleasantness and pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
So, we have a man choosing pleasantness or pleasure over God.
Mm-hmm.
And if we look at the names of his children, Melon and Chilion,
yeah,
means sickly and pinning. You know, basically these kids are in not great health. And we see that the father and the sons all died. The sons died pretty young because we can assume from the story that Ruth is still of childbearing age,
mm-hmm.
Which was the concern that we pointed out just a moment ago. So she was still fairly young. We don't know exactly. So here you see, you know, man basically choosing to do his own will over that of God. He leaves his people, goes into a foreign land, foreign customs, foreign gods, and seeking a wife from among these people.
Mm.
So that sets up an interesting context that we want to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ruth was a very different woman. Her name means beauty, and there's the other sister-in-law, Orpah, which means fawn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's interesting because as we see those, Ruth chose to stay with the mother-in-law,
mm-hmm.
And they started out on their journey, and Naomi says, "Oh, you both don't have to go with me," and so Orpah goes back to her people, and we assume that she goes back to her people's ways, and we hear no more of her in scripture.
Right.
Ruth says, no, I will follow you. Your God shall be my God, and your people my people. And so she goes with her and serves her. And this is what Boaz sees. He sees her tending to her, mother-in-law,
mm-hmm.
Which is the proper role. And so now here we have the levirate marriage. And all along, from the context, we can see that Ruth is listening to Naomi, learning of her ways, and learning of her people's customs,
mm-hmm.
And gaining an understanding of the law and what is culturally appropriate.
Right.
So Naomi instructs her in the things to do, and as she comes to realize it's that Boaz is her kinsman redeemer, the Goel, she doesn't go to him and say, "You must marry me. This is, you know, this is my right, and this is what must happen." What does she do? Instead, she humbles herself before him. She puts on her best clothes, her fragrant perfume, and she lays down at his feet. And what's happening in the custom at the time, this is total and complete submission to Boaz. She's humbling herself to him. She's not demanding him to fulfill his obligation, but kindly and gently requesting it. You know, it's under the guidance that she got from her mother-in-law. And she's doing it in a way that's respectful and submissive. And she says in Ruth 3:9, "Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaiden," which is interesting because it's the same thing as saying, "Spread the corner of your garment over me," which was something in the cultures of that day,
mm-hmm.
that if it's a widow, that you will come and protect me. You will cover me just in the same way that God covered Adam and Eve when they were naked in the garden, protecting mm-hmm. them. This is the same thing here, that you will protect me and care for me and make me your own wife. So she no longer has to go out and work in the fields or do these things.
Right.
And so it's very interesting. And what is the reward? What comes from this? Well, we see that they bear a son, Obed, who becomes the father of Jesse, who is the father of David.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so much going on here. We have to not look at just the words, but also look at what are the names, what are the customs,
right.
And dig into this more to get a much better picture of what are the obligations. And to elaborate a little bit further, the kinsman redeemer, he was expected to do a couple of things. One is to buy a fellow Israelite out of slavery, if that were to happen, to avenge the blood of a family member, to buy back the family land, which we're reading about here, and also to carry on the family name should his brother-in-law's wife become a widow. I mean, should his brother pass away, then to take the widow who is childless into his own family and to try and give birth to some offspring so that the name can carry on.
Mm-hmm.
So quite a few responsibilities. In essence, we can summarize it that the kinsman redeemer is responsible to safeguard the person,
mm-hmm.
the property, and the posterity of the family.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Great. Okay. Now, the first thing when Naomi and Ruth got into Bethlehem back to Israel, Naomi was a very smart woman. She knew her culture very well. Ruth began to go out to find food and to find out that Ruth was gleaning from a farm that was belonging to one of the kinsmen redeemers. So as Ralph has already said, the plan was the whole influence of this wedding came from Naomi. And Ruth humbled herself, and as exactly what Ralph has said, went and did exactly what Naomi told her to do. And so the proposal that was made to Boaz by just going and lying down under her feet in a way and giving that respect. And when Boaz woke up in the night and found out there was a woman there, and to find out that it was it was Ruth. So the plan was, look, yes, it's right that I'm a kinsman redeemer, but I have somebody who is the closest. And so I'm going to make everything right. See, the problem was this. Somebody was the closest person. And that person is supposed to do the work to marry Ruth. But so Boaz gave Ruth some food and said, you need to go early in the morning, but I will make sure to see what I can do. So, and the joy that when Ruth returned home to Naomi, she told her the whole story. And Naomi said to her, my daughter, let us wait patiently. Boaz will not rest until he does what he has promised to do. And I just love that, you see. And so these were the issues. He gave her provision and she went home. But Naomi reassures Ruth, say, this is going to happen. The first thing is we look at is who made the proposal? Ruth. And who influenced the proposal? Naomi. Influenced her to do this because she knew the history of her people. And that within the Jewish culture, if a male died without leaving a son, then the kinsman redeemer need to take the wife in order to have a child for the deceased. So she knew all these stories. And she said, you need to wait. So what happened is that the proposal was made and Boaz accepted it, but Boaz had to do the right thing. He didn't just get up and say, okay, well, I will take you. No, he had to do the right thing according to the culture. So the second point that we are looking at today is wedding at the gate. The wedding took place at the gate. At the town gate, Boaz meets with the other founder redeemer. You know, and as Rab has said, and reminded him, look, we have an issue here. Elimelech died. He got a land, and the wife wants to sell it. And this is interesting, but you are the closest person to buy. And then with the name, this the closest kinsman redeemer name was not mentioned in the Bible. We don't know his name. But yet he was challenged to do it. So in the first place, he said, oh, this is right. I'm responsible. I'm the next person. I will do it. Then he added. Boaz added, okay, when you are doing this, don't forget you need to take Ruth. It gotta be along with Ruth so that you will bring forth a child for the deceased husband, for your brother. That he had probably said no. If I can just buy a bike, I can just do this, but I don't want to take Ruth. So what happened? According to what Rob has already said, this was an issue. So in the culture, what do you have to do in order to for the next king's man to take over the property? You got to find the boys, the Esther, before that can be done, you have to take the other king's man's shoes. You got to take it and give it to you. You know, and that's what happened here at the gate. And it was done in the presence of what? Of witnesses. It was done in the presence of witnesses. So the important thing there was he just stretched his leg and the sandal was taken and given to Boaz. That was an indication that Boaz now is the rightful person to buy the property or to be the king's male redeemer. And so what Boaz did, at that time, that very hour, that was the complete wedding. When Boaz accepted the sandal from the unnamed kinsman redeemer, Boaz became the husband of Ruth. So there was no bride price involved. But according to the culture, I believe that when they were in Moab, that there was a bride price involved for Ruth to be married to the brother who died in Moab. But in this case, the person who is to stay in the family and take over the wife and bring the name of the deceased into the family, that was the wedding they took. So the elders of the city, they all came together and witnessed that. There were 10 persons, and Rab had already summarized that. But this is very important. This is important. Now, please, when you follow all the videos, every time that there are different kinds of weddings that were done, all of the things were being studied. In this case, there was a Levirate wedding. It was done in a very peculiar way according to the culture. Boaz did the right thing. Boaz became the closest person, and he took over the property of the deceased. And that was it. Now, I want us to talk about something. You know, when we talk about a gate, I want us to talk about it. Okay. The importance of city gates in Israel. Gates were used for protective purposes. We know that. But I want you to note that some specific gates were used as a meeting ground by the leaders of the city to discuss matters affecting their people. So, and most of the time when you see that they are at the gate, it means in most cases, were leaders of the city. They would be at the gate to discuss if there's any problem in the city, whatever is going on, these little leaders would get together. And so, in order to do this rightly, Boaz invited the leaders at the gates. So they were there and they witnessed that. Hey, Rob, you say you got a note on that before we can summarize the rest.
I do. So as you point out, yes, the gates were very important. Mm-hmm. And this is an area that was set aside for meetings. So we go back to Genesis 19. We see Lot meets the two angels at the gates.
At the gate, right.
You know, if we remember, Lot had pitched his tents towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and then eventually we see him, he's completely moved in, and he's there with the elders at the gates,
yeah,
part of the leadership of the city. So the angels come there and meet him there. Now, in Genesis 34, we read about the two brothers, Hamor and Shechem. They went to the city gate, and they talked to the elders of the city and demanded that everyone be circumcised,
mm-hmm,
after they had defiled their sister. And so this was another time we see the gates mentioned, and we see it all through Scripture. So it's important to note. And we read that here that Boaz assembled 10 witnesses, mm-hmm, at the city gate.
Right.
And one last point to point out is that 10 is the stands for perfection of divine order.
Mm-hmm.
There are 10 commandments, 10 clauses in the Lord's Prayer. Noah was the 10th generation from Adam. So the symbolism in here is also very heavy.
Right.
And it's important to know that. So this is all part of God's plan. Ruth was obedient. She just didn't happen to wander into Boaz's fields, as it may have seemed. No, God's orchestrated this and is taking care of his child,
mm-hmm,
for being faithful and doing what she was supposed to. So it's very important. And then learning where this is taking place, this is very important as well, because that was where a lot was happening in that time. It's similar to today. We would go down to the city hall,
yeah,
or the courthouse, and there's meeting rooms set aside in there in our culture. But in that day, their place was at the town gate.
At the town gate.
The meeting area set aside.
Right. You're right. At the town gate. You're right. Thank you. Okay. Now, let us just look at quite a few things before we wrap up tonight. What do we mean by kinsman or a kinsman redeemer? Now, kinsman in the Hebrew is called goel. May come from a root meaning to redeem or buy back. They go El among the Hebrew was the nearest male blood relation alive. Certain important obligations evolved upon him toward his next of kin. One, if anyone from poverty was unable to redeem his inheritance, it was the duty of the king's man to redeem it. We find that in Leviticus 25, 25, 25, and 28, in Ruth 3, 9, and 12. He was also required to redeem his relation who had sold himself into slavery. That your brother didn't have money, he's so poor, and then he just gave himself into slavery. That king's man redeemer had the right to redeem the brother. So we found out that God is the Goel of his people because he redeemed them. We find out in Exodus. I mean, you can just go on in Exodus, in Isaiah, in all that. Okay. The Goel also was the avenger of blood in the case of the murderer of the next of kin. So this is a person who was a key person in the family to make sure that the family was rightly represented. So the Goel was a kind of a redeemer, a kind of somebody who will redeem, who will make sure that the property stay intact, that no extra person will come from a different tribal group to take the land of a particular family. It was the right of the kinsman to receive the inheritance of a family without an heir. If there was a family without an heir, that kinsman will redeem it. He will be able to receive it. So this was done in order to protect the various tribal groups, so that what belonged to the Levites or what belonged to this tribe would not be given to another person. That was the kind of whole thing. The kinsman redeemer was responsible for producing an heir to continue in the line of the deceased. That's what Boaz told the kinsman redeemer. He said, "No, I can't do it. Because when I take Ruth, then the first child of Ruth will not be my child. It will be the child of Ruth's husband that died. So I don't want to endanger my family." See, in the book of Ruth, Boaz is the kinsman redeemer. Now, yet this is what Ruth said in Ruth 20:20. The man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsman redeemers. He's not going to write. He's not going to wait until he will do what he had promised. On legal ground, Boaz had a right to reclaim the property of Naomi. But he was required by law to wait for his turn, and he was not the nearest relative. You find that in 4:4. Only after his nearest relative refused did Boaz proceed with his obligation as a kinsman. Now, Boaz respected this whole cultural practice. So even though he loved Ruth, but he could not have gone ahead at tomorrow because there was a next king who was responsible. But this man was challenged, and after he backed back not to do it, that's when Boaz stepped in now as the nearest person to do that. And I just love that. Now, and what kind of marriage that Boaz and Ruth have? This kind of marriage was what we call levirate marriage. All right, I think we talked about it already. It is the Israelite custom in which a man, upon the death of his brother, marries his brother's widow and raises up children for his brother. When a man died, the responsibility for maintaining his widow and any children that she might have fallen upon her husband, closest male relative. Now, these are things, I think, too, what I'm seeing here, I can relate to some of this in my own culture. Yeah, in my own culture, you know, because I remember that when I was coming up, the same thing, if a woman married to someone in our culture way back, I think there was the same levirate marriage we had. Now, when the man dies and the woman remains in the family, will marry to another male in the family. And then that male in the family will take care of all the other children. that the deceased may have with it with the wife, and that male in the family will take care of the children. It's a little bit different thing, you know, because they don't name the first child the child for the deceased. That was not done that way in our culture. But then you were responsible to take care of your brother's children, including the wife, if he died. So I can just see some little connection right here. Because when I was coming up, I saw it. And I think it's still going on today, even in my culture. All right? So I can relate to this one a little bit. Okay. Now, tonight, let me just summarize what we've been doing here. The first thing is we talked a little bit about the background of Boaz and Naomi's wedding. And there were two key things that we stressed tonight in our discussion. The proposal of Ruth to Boaz and Boaz's acceptance of that proposal and the arrangement for the wedding. And that these are two key things. And then we're able to look at the meaning of kinsmen or kinsmen redeemer and their responsibilities. Okay, tonight before we can close up, Rob, can you give us the conclusion tonight, just, you know, before we can invite our people to ask questions?
Yes, so here we read in Ruth about her marriage to Boaz.
Mm-hmm.
And we see a wonderful illustration of the role of the kinsman redeemer.
Right.
God, through the law, has made a provision to care for his people.
Mm-hmm.
We see a couple illustrations of this in the book of Ruth. We see he cares for the poor by allowing them to glean from the corner of the fields, just as Ruth did here.
Right.
Then he cares for the widows by establishing the kinsman redeemer, the Goel.
Mm-hmm.
How much more so does he care for us?
Hmm.
Christ is our kinsman redeemer, sent to buy us back from our fallen estate and position, restoring us to fellowship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And we think about it, Christ was rejected and despised by men, yet he still came to redeem us.
Mm-hmm.
What great love. And as we pointed through this whole study, this is just more evidence that God is the promise keeper.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Thank you. Good. Thank you. I mean, that you just summarized the whole thing. God is the promise keeper. All right, for those who are with us live tonight, do you have questions? If you have a question or comment, this is the time now for you to do so. Give you a few minutes. If you have any question or comment, you're welcome. Okay. All right. Well, I want you to do something for us, all right? For those of you that are with us tonight, whenever you are, if you want to rewatch this on YouTube, please leave us a comment. There is thumbs up and thumbs down. Give us your decision concerning this teaching. That will help us to prepare more and more to teach. All right, we want to hear from you. If you are watching this on our website, please leave us a comment. Tell us what you think about the teaching. You know, tell us. We would love to hear from you. You can forward this to anyone at no cost. All right? Just share it. Share it with anybody. You're welcome to share. Okay? So, okay. Now, okay, thank you for joining us tonight, and we are going to have a final prayer. Next week, we are going to conclude Ruth, the book of Ruth. All right, and we're going to look at his the blessing of God upon them, and there are quite a few things that took place in the concluding point. And very great stuff. So don't forget to join us next Sunday at 8 p.m. Hey, Rob, can you lead us in our final prayer?
Well, Heavenly Father, we just praise and magnify your name for this wonderful study.
Yes,
time
Lord.
To come together and study what it means to have a biblical marriage.
Mm.
And here tonight, you taught us about the kinsman redeemer, the Goel. So such an important role mm. they played in preserving the Israelites, in preserving your people, Father.
Mm.
Lord, most of all, we thank you for Christ as our kinsman redeemer, sent here to redeem us from our fallen estate. Thank you so much, Father, for rescuing us, for saving us, and loving us.
Mm.
Lord, we just praise and magnify your name, for you and you alone are worthy to be praised. Praise above all names. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. In his name alone. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Join us next week, 8 p.m. Invite somebody. Bye-bye.